Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Good evening and welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 558. Today is June 5th, 2024. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
I'm Adriel.
I'm Dave.
Different Dave. Yeah. Other Dave. Other random Dave.
Varsity Dave. Remember?
Dave with cutoffs and shorty shotguns, dumpster defenders.
Tony's saying Dave is hosting, and Tony didn't even host, so you can't make Dave host.
I'm not hosting. I don't know how to host. I mean, I do, but I don't.
All right, well, why don't we get into what we did with guns, and Dave, why don't you lead us off? What did you get up to in guns this week?
Oh, dear goodness me. I registered a restricted shotgun, and I have made myself a Servo Super Shorty at home. I'm still waiting for the registration certificate, but when it does show up, I'm going to take this pistol grip, 8.5-inch barrel shotgun with a cylinder bore, and I'm going to take a trap shooting just to see if anybody can have an aneurysm over the age of 80 at the trap shooting range. Because that would be fun. I finished putting together this thing here. And what I'm holding up as well is a Raven. It's the longest Raven. It's an A2 stock Raven with a full 20-inch barrel and a 2-inch long Trident flash suppressor, making this gun, actually, it's funny, I have a tape measure here for the topic later on. How long is this
Raven? Those flash hiders are so ringy. Like every time you fire, bing, it's like a tuning fork after you fire it.
Okay, it's actually 40 and a half inches long.
Long boy.
Yeah. It is meant to be a competition gun. I have a trigger tick in there. It's a two-stage trigger, so I'm probably going to swap it to a proper competition trigger at some point. I am a sucker for A2 stocks, and I actually have an actual A2 stock with a Canadian fact painted on it, but I wanted cutie's level points, and so I got myself the Magpul rifle stock. Did you know that Magpul makes a A2 length rifle stock?
That's the first time I've seen that one. I'm not surprised that they make one. It's just I haven't seen one before.
And it's the perfect length of pull for Dave. And it doesn't come with sling swivels to sling QD cups because Magpul is too cheap for that. So I had to buy those. But check out the storage on this thing. It's cavernous. Now you can stick like 2 Snickers bars in there. Okay. And
you should have let me know about the cups. I bulk bought them from Brownells for like $2 a pop. They're not Magpul ones though. So you have to epoxy them in. They don't have.
That's the one that I have on that fixed carbine stock that you got me.
I still got lots.
Maybe I'll just take a couple of your hands now because I got to put some more of those in my other stocks. This Raven is sporting a Faxom SOCOM profile barrel. So the SOCOM it's kind of hard to see under there, but it is a kind of like light to medium profile all the way up to the gas block. And then we get this chunky boy at the end. So it's the 0.71 diameter barrel after the gas block, because the gas block is 0.71 diameter. And it's supposed to be like SOCOM wanted a little more weight at the end for more heat retention for longer strings or fire. It's dumb because it just makes like the barrel like super front heavy for no reason. That's why I actually ordered a different barrel from Red Deer Shooting Center. I've got another Faxon coming in. It's an 18.5-inch barrel with the gunner profile, which is just pencil profile all the way through.
Nice and light. That's the one you want.
Yeah. So that's going to take like a half a pound off of the front of the gun. And right now it is just barely a little bit back heavy. So once it's nice and light on the front, this is going to be like super, super light to point. I am a big fan of the BCM MCMR handguards. I have a 13-inch one, so I got the 15-inch one to match this. There is a ergo adjustable gas block under here so that I can fine tune the gas system. And this thing shoots really nice now, especially because it's a rifle length gas system with the rifle stock and spring and everything. So it's just like boom and everything just kind of goes woo, and then it slams all the way forward. This was a gold builder kit that I purchased from Calgary Shooting Center. Shout out to Max. He'll hook you up. I also got the platinum upgrade kit, which just gives me all the controls that the gold doesn't come with. And honestly, it's worth it. It's the gun is purpose built for those controls there. So it's got some really nice ambi mag releases in there. It's got some really nice bolt catch on one side and on the other. So it you can just reach and push and it's good to go. The trigger tech didn't have any issues coming in, getting in there. The Seekins Precision 45 degree safety didn't have any issues in there.
How's the ejection pattern on it? Is it like close to your face, far from your face?
I think it flies over my shoulder. So I would say it's probably like a 4 o'clock throw.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a 3D printed shell deflector you can get.
I have the file for that. And then I saw a guy in Gunpost is getting aluminum machine ones made in China. So I got that coming in the way. Yeah, and it also has the cover here for the other side to seal up this end. And I was going to say, the only complaint that I truly have about this gun is this freaking charging handle. Because apparently the guy didn't trust cloth, so he just put a freaking piece of bent spring in there to hold the charging handle in. And it is kind of hard to see, but it is already wearing on there.
Yep. They have Gen 2.
Yeah, how much is the Gen 2 charging handle?
Too much. There's a guy on Gunpost that's making a bunch in China too for cheaper.
That's the same guy that I bought them from. So I bought I bought his entire assembly. So I've got the cover on the side. I've got the shell deflector.
Wizard Defense, something like that?
Wizard Defense, yeah. So I've got that coming.
Oh, yeah.
And then BCM grip. What else do I have on here? This guy. So initially it had a Primary Arms 5X prism scope on there, and it was really nice. It was really, really, really nice. But I have a match this weekend, and I need something as a backup. This is going to be the backup. I needed something for a backup to this. Brand 2. Okay. I'm going to run the Brand 2 because I know this is reliable. I already ran it in a match, and It's cool. It's a 16-inch brand, and I really like it. Like, all the controls are right for me. It just shoots so well. I know it runs, and the Raven, even though I put it together myself, and I know I can put together something better than Lockhart Tactical because I know what a torque wrench is, I don't want to put something that I just put together into a match. I'd rather just run the brand. But if for some reason the Bren dies, I'll have another semi-auto with a dot.
Dave, depending on when my register for that Raven comes in, I might get 20. I might be able to sight it in.
Yeah, you go. If you can do it, do it. You should do it. Uh-huh. You should run that Raven. That thing is pretty dope.
I will, because it'll be more reliable than the other options I have.
Oh, right, because your other one is how many pistons have you broken on your links?
Well, two in the last, couple months here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's wild.
I feel like the last one didn't have a good heat treat on it though, because it bent like right away.
Oh, that's just classic Kodiak at this point. What else? Oh yeah. Well, I said that I went to a match. I shot my first IPSC style, but not IPSC adherent match. It was a rifle match that they did at BTSA. And I didn't win. I didn't DQ, but I did get the most alphas of the entire match. I was really slow. but I got the most apples.
I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, I know. I know. My proudest moment in that entire match happened twice because there were two stages. One, which was maybe like a 50-meter stage, and everybody was struggling with it. Not yet, Rico. So Rico's asking about the charging handle blowing backwards when you shoot the Raven. I haven't, but I've seen the videos of people having that issue. So yeah, I anticipate that once that section on the upper wears enough, it's going to start happening. So that's why
your firing pin is. Oh no, your firing pin will be a Raven firing pin.
Yeah,
it has to be.
No, mine hasn't broken.
Yeah.
No. Like I said, I put together that gun and it's like 90% AR, but it's the 10% in the middle that worries me.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm running the brand. Where was I? Yeah. Okay. So the match, 50-meter stage, and everybody's struggling to make those hits at the 50 meters. And I'm taking my time. And Adriel knows what I mean. I just mosey around the stage. I don't run. I hate running. It makes me sweaty. So I just walk. I walk the stage.
Saunter.
I sat down. A casual saunter. And I sat down. I made my hits. Alphas, 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 alphas. And then the RO for that stage after the fact came to me and he said, no one else has hit alphas in this stage. No one. I was like, I just took my time. You know, I'm just running with this enormous Aimpoint Pro. And what is this? Is this a 2 MOA dot or is it 3 MOA, Adriel? What is this thing?
It's one or two.
It's three.
No, it's not that much, is it?
I don't know. Somebody will find out. I think there's actually two models, so I don't know. Anyway, so I'm just running it with a dot, right? But I take my time, and I maple seated so hard all over that stage. And then I did it again for another stage. That was the long-range stage with 200-meter steel, 100-meter paper targets, and then a bunch of targets at the front. And the whole gimmick of that stage was that everybody shot the close-range stuff after they shot the long-range off of a fake roof barricade. So it was just a sheet of plywood with some beams across to simulate a roof, and everybody was climbing on and like messing around, trying to like put their hands on and getting a, you know, bracing against the roof and whatever. And I tried it. Before I did the stage, I just climbed onto the roof, lay down, and I went, nope, I hate this. This sucks. So I turned to the RO and I asked him, can I just like lay down prone and shoot it off the ground beside the barricade? And he just looks at me like I just grew a third eyeball in the middle of my forehead. And yeah, nobody else has done it, but go for it if you want. So I shot my close range stuff because people were saying it's like, oh yeah, if you shoot the close range stuff, then your heart rate will be up. Remember, I don't run, so my heart rate was not up. So I just shot the close range stuff. Then I lay down and I maple seated every single one of those five steel targets at 100, at 200 meters. Just like, bang, bang. Oh, I have to adjust, scoot over, get my natural, you know, point of aim back on target. Bang, just bang, 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 bang. And it's really funny because I got footage of me shooting that stage and the RO couldn't care less about what I was doing except being safe, right? But when I started shooting the steel, first shot, ding, dead on. Second shot after a pause, ding, dead on. Then I see him turn around and look at me. Third shot, ding, dead on. And like looks back at the camera. Fourth shot, ding. And it looks back to me. Five shot, ding. And he's like, well, that's that. He's finished. He thought I was done. Then I moved them to the 100-meter targets. And I got alphas again, all alphas. And so, yeah, that was what I did for that match. I have a three-gun match this Saturday here at Milo. I'm going to be running the Brennus primary one rifle, the Raven as secondary rifle, the Beretta 1301 Tactical Marine as primary shotgun, the Versamax Tacord Special as secondary shotgun, a Shadow 2 with a red dot on it as primary handgun, and a Jericho 941R with Cowboy Bebop grips as my secondary handgun. Because I have 40 cal mags now. Kids, why do 40 cal mags matter?
40 cal doesn't.
What?
But 40 cal mags are nice.
The mags are nice. The mags are super nice. The mags are super nice, and they work in 9mm handguns. Wait, do we know this? Do we know this or not? Well, I'm gonna say that they
do. Yeah. No, we've talked about it before. Yeah, yeah. the Mekgar 40 cal mags work in 9mm for shadows. Yeah.
But which specific brand, Adriel? Which specific model of magazine?
Mekgar, the full steel ones.
Has to be Mekgar, the full steel ones that have a blue follower. And what do they say on the side, Adriel?
I don't know, 40?
40 and
made in Italy.
SP01. Yeah. It has to be the blue follower, full steel, 40 cal SP01 shadow mags. And those ones work well because I've tried other 40 mags, like CZ75 mags. Those ones didn't work, but this one does. And guess what? Cabela's has them. So next time they go on sale, buy a bunch.
Yeah.
Use the affiliate link. Oh, look at that. A plug. I'm done. Next.
Kyle, you want to go next?
Sure. Baseball's just wrapped up, so been kind of taking it easy, relaxing before I get going. But I have started getting out for some runs, so I got a little bit of an update on the Axel X-Core Ear Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed both on the sound. The bass response on them is pretty damn good. And like running, you don't even know they're there. There's no movement whatsoever. They don't feel like they're sticking way out of your head. I am really happy with them so far. So, And I just actually got an email. They're like $100 off right now. So not quite the deal I got when I bought them, but it seems like Axel is always putting deals on that stuff.
But those are in-ear, right?
Yes, they are in-ear without the cord in between them. And so you put them in and it locks into your ear canal here.
That's pretty swanky. And
it's got the charging case. So, but yeah, like I said, with the run, very impressed. I mean, I haven't been doing jumping jacks or obstacle course, but going out for a couple mile run, trying to do some speed trials, and yeah, they didn't move. I didn't feel like I had to readjust them all the time. So that I'm trying to break down, well, start doing some running and that because, and I got to get my training schedule figured out. Cause yeah, I got to start getting to the range some more, ramp up my dry fire, get my dry fire going. And yeah, cause time is creeping up. And I got to get ready for local pistol match next weekend here. And then end of the month, three gun match at the end here. So a couple matches coming up, and yeah, I got to ramp up my training because yeah, now I should have some more time to do that.
So cool. What you're saying is you don't saunter around. You actually run.
I do actually run. Yes. And I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to get myself so I can do it more efficiently.
Yes.
But I do like running around a stage. I find that extremely fun. So.
Yeah. I like going fast too.
Yeah. Got shoot fast, run fast.
Got to go fast.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for me this week. How about you, Adriel?
I just got off a doubleheader RPAL over the last weekend here. So that was my weekend spent.
Was that your first
camped RPAL? Out at the range while I was doing it. Yeah. Yeah. First RPAL. It was good. It was easy.
Nice.
I don't like revolvers. I don't know why there's too much revolver focus in there.
Do you mean to tell me we shouldn't be teaching people about single action revolvers that have been outdated for 140 years?
I mean, we teach people about match locks, but I think for the practical, it would be more practical if we had a single action semi-auto and a DASA semi-auto. I think
I would say skip the single action and just have a hammer fire semi-auto and a striker fire semi-auto.
Yeah, that actually that would be good because there's lots of people out there who get like a, yeah, exactly. Striker fire handgun and a hammer fired. That would be great. That's all you'd need to do.
I would still keep the revolver because there's a couple of companies that still have revolvers. So
there are, but it's just like, would that be someone's first handgun? Would it, how many? I wonder how many revolvers get sold versus semi-automatic handguns. I bet you it's like 10%, maybe less, maybe less.
Okay, but for the same value that we still have, like, well, actually, I was gonna use lever actions, but lever actions are not popular and cool again. Just the revolver is ubiquitous enough that it needs to be out there just as a basic knowledge base. So
I think the revolver, the double action especially,
yeah,
because
keep a double action revolver. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting the cylinder open and that kind of thing, even though I don't have any, cause I think they're dumb, but, and I have
you
a
mean
single
to tell
action.
Me revolvers are like the katana of the gun world.
Yeah. I think they're potentially worse.
Hey now.
Yeah. Rico's saying, hey, speaking of CRFC, SC instructors and tire, they're unable to purchase new handguns. No exemption. You have that issue in Alberta? Yes.
Yep.
I would like to purchase some handguns so I could use them for the restricted course, and I cannot.
Yep. But you know who can? Tristan, because he's got a business license. So he just has handguns coming to him all the time. And same thing happens with the CSC. Max, my guy at the CSC, is like, I had like another 7 handguns came in last week. And
well, someone dies. What do you do with the handguns? Sell them to a business, I guess, right?
Yeah,
because you can't, no one can inherit them.
But because the market is zero for them, like they're just giving them like $50, like, because like, what are they gonna do? They're running out of space to put these things. So what are they gonna do with them? Like they're trying to like think about how they can loan them out or something, but they can't.
Yeah. Anywho, so I did PAL over the weekend. I camped at the range just because I didn't want to drive back and forth and that kind of thing. So I just stayed out there, made it easier, right? Got to sleep in a little bit more, kind of. The ducks and geese, like at 3 a.m., it's like it's dark and they went nuts. The ducks and geese just went nuts at 3 a.m. So I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And then around 6, they were quiet, so... next weekend I've got a maple seed in Peace River, Alberta. So if you're in the Peace area, I'll be up there, maple seeding. I think I'm going to drive up Friday night, camp at the range, like car camp at the range, do the maple seed and then drive back all in one day. It's just,
oh yeah.
It'll be long. Yeah.
Why can't I picture where Peace River is? Where's Peace River?
North.
It's north. It's very far north. You can't picture like, it because
2 hours
would never
north of Grand Prairie.
There's land up there.
Oh, that's a drive from Edmonton even.
Yep. Which is actually, why I'm doing the drive the day before.
Probably wouldn't. Not that day. So how far is Adriel? That's got to be not much different than, it's no different than Grand Prairie for you.
No, no different. Peace River is 5 hours. Grand Prairie is 5 hours.
Oof. That's an oof.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, no. 4 hours, 40 minutes to Peace River. How much to Grand Prairie? Probably about the same.
It's about the same, yeah.
From my house, 4 hours and 20 minutes to Grand Prairie. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, so. But I'm trying to cover, like, I'm trying to give good coverage to most of the province, right? And Peace River and Grand Prairie are kind of out there, but it's hard to get to. And they've got a bunch of people signed up, so I'm heading out.
Yeah, Peace River's a nice match, or a nice range.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the team match out there last year. Yeah, it should be good. I don't know. I think that's it for me. I made some more reloads, some more dummies for PAL courses, some more interesting ones. So I made like
Sorry to interrupt you. Calgary Shooting Center has 12 gauge dummies. They have Fiocchi dummies.
Okay, nice. Are they the steel ones or the plastic?
It's the real deal. It's the same things that we used to have from Brownells. That same box. Except it's $10 a box of, let me know, 10 for a 25, I think.
$10 for 25?
That's pretty, that's really good for dummy rounds.
All the deal. Yeah.
Let me just pull it up. That's really good for dummy rounds.
I remember I scoffed at the price, but it may not be that bad then.
Dummy rounds end up being stupid expensive.
Yeah, 25.
Yep. Yeah. I have a ton of those, but good to know. $10? $25. $25 per box of 25. That's still all right.
Yeah, fucker. That's still a good price for dummy rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to pick up probably a couple of more boxes. I've got more coming in. Oh, I forgot to talk about that. But yeah, I've got more coming in from Brownells, but yeah.
I have to double check on what I paid from Amazon for my last shipment of dummy rounds to see how that compares.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for me. Mine's easy. Yeah.
Well, we'll get on to upcoming events, and we will start off with the three gun events coming up. So on this weekend, June 7th, 8th, is the Canadian Multi-Gun Series in Guelph, Ontario, at the Guelph Rod and Gun Club. And then on June 9th, on Sunday, CDTSA has a three gun match. That's in Milo, Alberta. June 15th, as Sherwood Park Fish and Game is having their multi-gun team match. That's a two-day event, June 15th and 16th. On June 22nd, Mighty Peace Three Gun, that's at that Peace River Range, is having a three-gun match. And then on July 6th, Chaz is having their July three-gun match. All of those, except for Mighty Peace Three Gun, is on Practice Score, so you can go and search them up. My piece three gun, just show up and be at the range before 9 o'clock and you'll be able to shoot. And then moving on, Maple Seeds, any notable Maple Seeds coming up?
Yeah, I've got this very famous one in Peace River. There's going to be some pretty interesting people there.
Well, it's Peace River, of course there are.
That'll be June 8th. There's still spots available. Actually, there was someone on the Peace River Facebook page that was trying to sell his spots. So buy his spots because those will be cheaper. He's selling them at a discount. Kananaskis also on June 8th. That's sold out. Kananaskis on June 9th. I believe there's still spots. CFB Borden, Rimfire only. That's the Maple Seed. That's going to be June 8th. Qualify Rifleman, and you've got a chance to do the first known distance. That's going to be the day after. Known distance Maple Seed is bull caliber, or you can use your 22 if you feel like losing and being frustrated. But you know how we shoot 100, 200, 300, 400 meter like targets with stage 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the MQT? Imagine all the targets are just this big and they're at 100, 200, 300, and 400 meters. And you shoot your 223 or 308 or whatever. It's CFB Borden in Ontario, June 9th this weekend.
Oh, never mind.
We'll do it in Alberta. The first question I got from someone is like, hey, when's Alberta doing this? I'm like, those are the guys in Ontario. They're going to figure it out, and then we'll take that and we'll apply it out here. It's a long way, though.
So you need 100, 200, 300, and 400?
Well, meters. It would be cool to shoot it at distance instead of simulated distance.
Yeah. Yeah. So your stage one standing, that's a standing target at 100 meters. Your stage two.
I wonder if we could get full bore here in Calgary to do that because they got the 800 meter range.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of ranges in Alberta that could do that. Yeah.
But then so in Ontario at CFB Borden, they have a butt system and they're going to back off of it. So that it makes it easy to swap targets and that kind of thing. You need a way to swap targets, or else you need a couple of guys on quads or side by sides or something to like go down range, because otherwise, it's a bit of a chore, right? Although I suppose if you had access to a range that had berms at 1, 2, 3, and 4, you could do the whole MQT, in a rapid fire, 4 minutes. Now that would be interesting.
That would get hot. Thing. That would get hot.
Rounds? How many rounds?
It's only 40 rounds. That's it. Your rifle's gonna be hot. Your rifle's gonna be hot after 40 rounds for sure. You probably want to do the bottom ones first. But, I guess you could. That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
10 rounds per stage. You could do two coupled LAR mags, and do it in 4 minutes. It's totally doable.
What scope would I use for that?
Something that's got some...
subtensions,
ladder subtensions, so that you don't have to adjust in between. You just want to be able to hold it.
Would probably, Prism 5, but it's got really chunky lines on it. So that wouldn't be good.
Other maple seeds. So anyways, that's coming up. You have to have your rifleman patch to shoot the known distance. And it's not just shooting the known distance. There is some instruction that's going to happen in there as part of like building dope for your, you're going to want rifle dope for it. You're not going to want to do it at, like, I know they're going to go through that kind of thing, but if you show up with a rifle that's not zeroed with no dope, you're screwed. You're going to have a bad time.
Sporting rifle is giving a little bit more information. Borden is a gallery range and they will have people in the butts to mark the targets.
Yeah. In the butt. Kananaskis will be June 9th. I already mentioned that. Armstrong, June 9th. That one's already sold out. Elmira, Rod and Gud Club, Ontario, also June 9th, also sold out. Broken Head River Game and Fish in Manitoba, June 16th. There's spots available for that. So if you're in Manitoba, that's your maple seed you got to get to. PEI, Big Boot Gun Club. You got to go just for the name, I think.
Yeah.
They've got that on June 22nd, and they've got a ladies only on June 23rd. I think the ladies only is going to be sold out before the other one. And Blue Ridge, Ontario, June 29th. That's coming soon, unless the range sells out to its members. And Saskatchewan, the Regina Fish and Game League, that'll be June 30th. That's also coming soon. And if you want to see me not in the north of Alberta, but in the center of Alberta, come on down to Red Deer, July 6th for the Red Deer, that's Blindman Valley, Maple Seed. And I'll be there.
Cool.
He goes asking, isn't there a Maple Seed at Cornwall Handgun Club in August?
Maybe, but that's in August. I'm only reading the first 30 days. Yeah. Go for the full list of events, go to mapleseedrifleman.com/events and you can see all the events. There's a bunch. Ontario's adding a whole bunch right now. They've been busy. There's, LTVFG, that's Frankfurt. They have Blue Ridge, as I mentioned. They have GBHA Midland, HHGC, Penetanguishene, Cornwall, Lady Seed at Blue Ridge. Yeah, they got a whole bunch that they're adding on there. Cool. Cape Nova Rifle. Oh, there's one in Nova Scotia coming in the end of October, too. Cool.
Right on. All right. There is a 1,000-yard steel challenge at CFB Borden on June 22nd. It is listed on practice score under 1,000-yard steel challenge, RCMI. Chaz is having a family day, family range day on June 22nd as well.
And that means, like, show up and they'll let you, like, pay for some tickets and they'll let you shoot.
You guys do like set up a few different stages with different disciplines and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And like kids shoot 22 for free. And yeah, it's just going to be a good. So if you want to even just check out the range, that's the time to do it because you'll be checking out the range and shooting and doing a bunch of different things out there.
Nice. So
that's fun.
Jazz Battle of Alberta registration opens June 7th. Match on September 7th and 8th. So on Friday, registration opens. What time does that open at?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
I think.
That is
September?
Yeah, the match is September.
September 7th and 8th. You should try to get up here for that one, Dave.
That is a really good match. That's pretty much become the must-attend three-gun match in, besides the Peace River team match, for a solo competitor, the three-gun match to go to.
I would love it, but I have a match on the 8th, and I'm teaching on the 7th.
Boo earns.
Yeah. Also at Chaz, Cowboy Action Showdown in the Valley, June 15th and 16th. You can email cowboy@historical-arms.com for more info. Didn't realize you guys had Cowboy Action at Chaz.
You know what? He just emailed me. He's like, hey, can you guys promote this match? I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot. We should be promoting guys' stuff. Oops. No, it's all, yeah. So it's, we have an active Cowboy Action Club.
Why don't you guys have the little shanty town built then?
I believe they build that because they have some of those stuff. But like the shanty town is
put it up before every match.
Ambiance. That's for ambiance, right? Yeah. You don't need that. You just need a table.
Yeah, but you set that up permanently. All the other disciplines get to use it too. And it's a cool backdrop and something cool to use in your stage.
Yeah, they haven't built anything like that. Maybe when we build like another Leo Bay or something like that.
Yeah. our last event, Hunting Gear HGG Firearms Training has some spots open for July 20th for the PAL and 21st for the RPAL at Sherwood Park Fish and Game Association. So if you missed that, that is Adriel. He's got some spots open for a PAL course.
David, do you have
if
any?
He can say, can I say mine?
Why not?
June 22nd and 23rd, Calgary. June 24th, 25th, 26th, Cochrane. July 20th, 21st, Calgary. 22nd, 23rd, 24th, Cochrane. And then my August, September, and October dates were just released. So if you want to register 5 months ahead of time, you can.
Cool.
All right, that is it for upcoming events. We'll get on to the news, and the only piece I see here is that you now need a PAL to transport a mag. That has officially gone through.
Excuse me? What?
That was part of that C21, and they...
That's what the CCFR was saying. Yeah, you need a PAL now.
To transport?
To be in possession of a magazine.
Okay, so what do we have so far? Barrels?
Just everything.
It's just everything, yeah.
Yeah, everything you need a PAL. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
I thought you just needed it for buying.
C21 changed all that.
No, they ammo everything. Ammo you could have before, you just couldn't buy. But now you can't give
I
ammo.
You could, no, I thought you couldn't possess ammo. Okay. You couldn't possess ammo before.
I guess, do I have to go to the CCFR page to see all this?
Now you can't anyways. Now you need a PAL for everything. Yeah. Parts, ammo, AK-47s, they're ratcheting it all down.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a story about parts.
Okay.
Should I? Okay. So in February.
Is it going to get anyone in trouble?
No, because I've got the permits. It's all going through. It only took 4 months. In February, I made a Brownells order. And Brownells has this lovely little slider that lets you see parts available outside the U.S. So I clicked on that, and then I ordered a 16-inch 300 blackout barrel, bolt for an AR-15, a gas tube, a flash hider, and 3 boxes of dummies. It gets out of the U.S. and into Canada, and the CVSA holds on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the CVSA has a problem with?
The dummies?
Nope. Not the flash hider, not the dummies. The gas tube, the bolt, and the barrel. Took them weeks to figure out what to do here. Because I finally found an email to say, hey, you've had this for weeks now. What are you doing? And they go, oh, Global Affairs is inspecting the package to determine if an import permit is required. We will let you know. They did require an import permit. So then begins the fun of me trying to obtain an import permit. They send me a link to the page where you can apply in the Global Affairs to find out how to get a permit. But it doesn't say how to get a permit. It just says how to apply. So there's a bunch of tabs, and I have no idea what any of those do. Finally, I have a light bulb moment, and I realize that Prophet River in Lloyd, I think they're in Lloyd Ministry, I can't remember. Yep. Prophet River has imported stuff for me. So I shot them an email and said, hey, can you apply for the import permit? Because they're going to seize my stuff in a month if I don't provide one. They're like, yeah, we can do that. So they did. The deadline is coming up. And so I emailed them and was like, hey, what's happening? It's like, we're just waiting for them to get back to us. So I send an email to the CVSA saying, can you extend this? Because I'm waiting on the permit. And they're like, sure. It's extended from May 9th for a month. And if you know what the date is today, is June 5th. And yesterday I was sweating when I remember that June 9th is when they finally take it all away. And I emailed and I got the permit. Prophet River came in clutch. And now the package is on the way, and I am going to assemble the long boy version of what Adriel was showing there earlier. That straight pole guy, it's going to have a 16-inch 300 blackout barrel, and I'm going to shoot a deer with it, just like Adriel is. But I'm going to have way better ballistics.
Your ballistics are going to be barely better than mine. 300 blackout's already pretty cooking at a short barrel. That's why I chose 300 blackout. It's good with a short barrel. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, but mine is good.
Gooder, it will be gooder. Mine doesn't have a lot of blast to it. There wasn't a big fireball or anything like that out of it. Even with fills and rounds.
I mean, they have those fast burning powder, so it's going to get burnt out by the time it gets to any.
I'm using little gun in mine, which I think is pretty.
Oh, you're rolling your own. That's the way to go.
Oh yeah.
My desert tech lower should be here soon.
Your what? A tech?
My desert tech Quattro 15 lower. It should be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually, I think I'm going to buy AR-10 lower at the same time so I can get the 308 going for deer hunting.
Do it.
Yep. I agree. But
let's get on to new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They have free shipping over $250, and some exclusions do apply, and they also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. You can subscribe to their newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. And Adriel has some deals up right now. I got a couple
things up here. Yeah, they have the Mossberg 88 18.5-inch barrel with the regular stock or the pistol grip stock. Both will be non-restricted. That one's 323. They have the 590 Shockwave if you prefer the true dumpster dive, dumpster defender. That's got the strap on the pump and it is 559. And then they have their 940 Pro Tactical if you like your guns to fall apart and for parts to break on them while you're trying to shoot three gun. They've got one of those. Cool. 1249. You're almost all the way there to a Beretta 1301, which won't blow parts out of it. And they have a Mossberg 500 retro pump shotgun. Oh, the price is coming down on those. Nice. $599. It's got wood stock on it. It looks great. Walnut. Appropriate. Field and deer combo 20 gauge. Oh, look at that. Pump action. So it comes with two barrels. One of those barrels is rifled with iron sights on it. So you can shoot deer with a proper Sabo slug. Next thing, FOC has their Dusty inventory sale. There's some good deals in this thing. So if you're local to FOC, you're going to want to check out their sales and clearance. They had some ammo for killer price. I don't even know if they're going to have it. Well, that's
good. I'm going to tell you which one's a good one. They have Federal Gold Mill Match 6.5 Creedmoor for $39.99.
Uh-huh. They have Federal Fusion for $29. Hornady Vintage Match 8mm Mauser for $39. That's pretty good.
Oh, there's a
Federal 6.5. Premium 6.5 Creedmoor, $39. Well, I think they sold out a lot of their killer priced ammo. Well, this is not bad. Nosler Ammunition 270 Winchester, $34 a box. That's pretty good. We got some guns in there too. I'm just not sure if they're good. Oh, there we go. 7x57, 7mm Mauser, $24.95 a box. If you want 7mm Mauser, that is the cheapest you're going to find it anywhere. 7.65x53 Argentine, box of 20 for $29.95. Ridiculous. What? Yeah. Wow. 375 H&H for $60. That sounds like a lot, but it's not.
Not for H&H, no.
No. They got some other guns here. I want to see if they have that ammo. No, I think they must have sold out a lot of it.
Oh, wait.
X-Tap for 15. What's there's the X-Tap? Federal Gold Medal Match 6.5 Creedmoor 130 grain Berger bullet, $40. That's pretty good. Gecko. They got Gecko 9mm 339 for a case of 1,000. PMC X-Tac. That you can get at a better price. $699 is all right.
$700 for 1,000.
That's not bad. No, like if you're local. Bad. Yeah, if you're local, that's going to be good.
I got a better. Well, Dave, you got it. You found a better price than that.
Oh, right. I forgot we bought that.
Yeah. Dave let me know about a guy who's selling 2,000 rounds. I'm like, 2,000 for you, 1,000 for me. So I picked it up from him. Cool. Anyways, yeah. Though there's some killer deals in ammo in there.
I forgot we bought that ammo.
Hopefully you didn't buy more.
Yeah, I forgot your shotgun is already in Edmonton. My mom has it, so you can pick it up.
All right. Your mom, the gun runner.
Yeah.
Inner Surplus got a new shipment of Swedish rifles and shotguns in. So if you're looking for an M96 and 30-06 250, Dave, you need a new bolt action PAL rifle, 250 for a 30-06. You can get 30-06 dummies.
Huh.
$250. Condition. It's a rifle.
So how easy is it to pull the firing pin?
You got to grind it. You can't pull them on the Mausers.
Ah, okay.
That's oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the head and the spring are
the safety and all that kind of stuff. Or yeah,
by the firing pin. Yeah.
Yeah, the firing pin spring is acting against the safety, so you got to grind the firing pin to. Okay. But this one's got what kind of safety is that? Well, it's got the wing safety. Is that a side safety? Looks like a side safety.
I don't know what that is.
No, there's no side safety there. No, there can't be. Just something else.
I think that was just like the clear rods that they used to hold the gun up.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, that's a hanger. Yeah, yeah. Anywho, still cheap. Here's one that'll excite you. Delasque has, in again, 8-inch 10/22 barrels, fluted or non-fluted, 139 for non-fluted. 169 for fluted, 179 for stepped and fluted.
One of those is already sold out.
The fluted version was sold out. The non-fluted and stepped and fluted are still in stock.
You know what? I kind of want to build, because I'm a verifier, I want to build an ST-22 that's this big with a folding stock.
You could. You could.
And run it for steel challenge, because like, just imagine, like, chuk chuk, 597 max, ready. Done. Ready? I don't even have to reload.
Yeah. Nice and short. Tony let me know about these Caldwell Emax. Okay, this is a cheap set of headphones, but this one's Bluetooth. This is the Pro with Bluetooth, and it's $59.98. So $60.
Not bad.
And you get yourself emuffs that are
that extra save for 10% if you use it on pickup on store. I used that today. I got 6.5 for $1.90 a shot. And you should tell them tomorrow Father's Day sale starts at Cabela's, 10% off gift cards. You can buy five for $500 each. You can get $2,500 worth of buying power for $2,250.
Can you get that registered as a TFSA when you invest that much in Cabela's gift cards? Can you get those gift cards that would registered be nice. Under your investment
account? I only shop at Cabela's twice a year. I buy the gift cards here, and I buy the gift cards on Boxing Day, and I spend $5,000 at Cabela's every year. That's it.
Might as well. You're going to save that much. Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
I'll have to look for that. The last one, Lockhart Raven, their tactical 22LR is now available. This is the bolt carrier group only, $399.
Hmm. Huh.
They have 25-round mags, and they have 50-round drum mags as well. The 25-rounders are $55. The 50-rounders are $159.
That is an expensive bolt carrier.
Did you know that guy actually machines everything in-house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for sure, yeah.
But where find another 22LR bolt carrier for an AR.
No. Yeah. All I'm saying is, like this entire thing, like everything here, he makes. The catch, the pins, everything. It's all in-house.
You think the charging handle's in-house, or you think he just shops that out? The charging handle would be too easy to give someone else to shop to do. It'd be too hard to create.
My guy at the CSC keeps trying to talk sense into him. Like maybe try this, maybe try that. He's like, no, I got to keep an eye on everything. He does everything in-house. It's insanity.
Sounds
yeah, you got to start farming some of that stuff out.
Anyways, I gotta run. Catch you guys later.
You're clear, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, and on to the main topic.
And for our main topic, we thought we'd get David on from Foothills Firearms Training down in Calgary to tell us about registering restricted firearms, because there's a little bit of a process to it, and I think some people out there might want to do it if they knew more about the process. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you for having me again. It's a process. It is one of the processes of the world. And so
it's a process.
you want a restricted firearm. Guess what, kids? You can still get restricted firearms in Canada. Yes, the handguns are out, but there are other things out there. So does anybody off the top of their head know what is not a handgun, but that is still restricted? Let's start with that.
That thing up there? Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah, that, that one.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
Not what this else? One. Just that one.
Not that one. That one. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, why?
Well, I'm pointing at a 16-inch barrel Raven.
Yes. And 16-inch barrel Raven. Inches, but Adriel, why is yours restricted, but this 20-inch barrel Raven is not restricted?
Because barrel length.
Because barrel length. So, as I review, which are restricted firearms in Canada, all handguns are restricted. That's just what it is. We're not talking about antiques because they're not considered firearms. I don't know. It's weird. Okay. And any semi-automatic firearm that uses centerfire ammunition and has a barrel length less than 18 and a half inches. Okay. That's your Raven, Adriel. Then the next one is a little more complex because it's a firearm that is designed or adapted to be fired when reduced to the length of less than 660 millimeters, 26 inches by folding, telescoping, or otherwise. What does that mess mean? If you have a gun that is more than 26 inches and you can make it to be less than 26 inches and it can still fire, the gun is considered restricted. So Adriel just pulled up something very swanky off his wall.
Yeah, this is my straight pull SBI, and it's 26 and a half inches full. All the way from tip of the barrel to back of the stock. So this one's non-restricted, even though it's very small. Now, if I opted for a fixed stock, I could have gone with the shortest barrel ever because it wouldn't be designed to fold down or telescope down or anything like that. That's why that... What is it? The what's the shotgun? The 312?
SS211.
Yeah, it's 23 inches, I think. There's a 23-inch version now.
Or the Maris legs are the ones that people might know a little bit better. It Maris is a firearm that is clearly not a handgun, so that doesn't fall into that classification because of that. And by the way, the definition of a handgun, you're going to love this, is just a firearm that is designed or adapted to be fired with one hand.
I fire most of my handguns with two hands.
I know, but you can fire with one. That one, maybe not so much, but the handguns, yes. So if it's not a firearm, it can be designed or adapted to be fired with one hand. And it's not semi-automatic, because then that entire first rule doesn't matter. And it is just under 26 inches. It is not more than 26 inches. And then gets shorter than 26. If it is just a gun that is less than 26, then it is technically just going to fall into the non-restricted category. Okay?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to design such a short gun that can telescope that'll be restricted. I haven't seen any. Have you seen any? Okay. You have.
We'll talk about what I just pulled up on screen in a minute. But so what does that even look like if you want something to look at? I'm holding up a shotgun right now, and this shotgun is pretty unique in that it looks like it's more than 26 inches. I know because I have a measuring tape right over here. So let's pull out the measuring tape. Let's get 26 inches out here. Okay, we have 26 inches. Well, it's upside down, but whatever. Okay, so the gun looks like it's more than 26 inches, right, kids? It's more than 26 inches. So why is this a special gun? Well, if this was short enough and the stock collapsed and it was less than 26 inches, then, it would be restricted. But it's actually still more than 26 inches. So what's the deal with this thing? It's here. Ta-da! So now I have a pump-action shotgun, so that wouldn't be something that you care about for the... barrel length rule. That is a 12 and a half inch barrel. It's just a Remington 870 clone, but the stock folds, and now it is sitting at a lovely 23 inches in overall length. So this is a restricted shotgun. Okay, I made this for my restricted PAL courses so that I could show students, look, this is a thing, and if you start swapping parts without thinking about it, you can make yourself a restricted gun that has not been registered, and they really don't like you to have that, okay? So that got me started down the rabbit hole of registering a restricted firearm, okay? this was about 4 years ago that I did this for the very first time. And I knew that this was a thing, but I've never tried it. So I called the RCMP and asked, and then they put me in through to the Ottawa Firearms Lab. And I talked to a tech there, and they said, yes, you can do this. You can send us pictures of the thing, and we will begin the process of registering the gun. Okay? That is, I need pictures of the entire gun on both sides. I need pictures of every single stamping on the gun, especially caliber. And then what the most important thing was, seemingly, is take a tape measure, stick it right next to the gun, showing how long the barrel length is. And with those bits of information, what they do is that the tech goes and figures out the what the FRT, the firearms reference table number for that gun is. If there is already one on the FRT table, a sub FRT number specifically for that firearm and that configuration would be non-restricted, restricted, or prohibited, then it's pretty simple. They just go, okay, it's this gun. We're gonna give you this number, and you can take that and my verifier number, and I'll explain what a verifier is later, and you can start the process of registering the gun. You go to the RCMP individual web services. It is in the system now. After some time, some government, you know, things happen, and then they send you a registration certificate. Okay. And that's what I did with that shotgun. Okay. That process took several months because after that initial contact with the tech, I got the pictures sent to them, and then radio silence. It took me about 2 months of sending emails to finally get no response at all, get frustrated and call them. When I got put through to the firearms lab again, I finally spoke with another tech and he goes, oh yeah, the person in charge of your file went on vacation, but let me take a look. Yeah, it's all good to go. Let me just sign off on it. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. So you mentioned verifiers. So process is, so like I'm going through this process. You're going through this process, right? One of the steps in it was build your restricted firearm. So I did that. I built it. And then the next step was get a verifier to verify it, really, right? Verify that it's what it's supposed to be and it's that kind of firearm. My FRT. So there is an FRT entry for the Raven. There was not an entry for the FRT for the Raven at a 16-inch barrel because no one's that dumb except for me. because it's so close to 18 inches, right? What's the point, right? Mm-hmm. But I got the sub number, and then the next thing was I applied. So I gave you some photos of it. Mm-hmm. And then separately, the RCMP tech asked for some photos of it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting. I'm a month in right now and I'm waiting, but yeah. I'm going to call them. You mentioned, because yeah, it's gotta be done. I just need that.
It's gotta be done. Yeah. It's been a month. So it's probably just sitting on somebody's desk.
So that brings up a question on my end, because I remember when we were dealing with, you changed the barrel length or whatever. You have 30 days. Okay. You changed that barrel length. That receiver was set was sold as non-restricted, and then you put a restricted. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there built, and you're at your 30 days. So,
So
that's what I'm getting to is that just, hey, you started the process, you let them know.
That thing is completely separate. My understanding of it is, I would have to talk to Ian Runkle, the firearms lawyer, to get this precisely correct. But you know, you can always just double check with him next time you have him on. Is that 30 days thing? It's just a modification of a firearm that was already registered. Okay. So if you had an AR, yes, you could swap out the uppers and play, and you had 30 days to update the registration certificate to show the correct barrel length. Same thing with a strip lower. You've got 30 days to tell them this is now a gun, not just a restricted strip frame.
Okay. And then on that, though, wasn't it when the 80s, before they were just illegal paperweights, you had to get your serial number and all that documentation in when you were intending to actually mail it out? You didn't build it. You went through the paperwork saying, I am intending on building this. Send me my paperwork so I can actually do it, so I'm not in possession of a prohibited device. It seems weird that with this process, it's you build this restricted firearm, then send it away for verification. That, see where I'm going with that?
Yeah. I think it's just the point of the whole thing is,
I think there's a lot of room to get
started the process. If somebody asks, where's the registered certificate for that shotgun? That looks too short. And I can tell them I don't have it, but I can show you all the documentation and I can put you into the RCMP's database. And it will say that I have initiated the process of registering this shotgun as a restricted firearm. And hopefully the person didn't get into a fight with their wife that morning or had their large coffee enema. And then they actually, you know, treat you well.
Yeah, it sounds like the process needs to be updated because it's putting a lot of liability on somebody to have them build it first and there's no register and just bank on the fact that, hey, the raids happen.
But you need the photos to send to them. You can't just send them a photo of an upper and lower and be like, I'm going to make this thing 16 inches because it's not good enough, right?
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. With this one, I actually, I'm holding out for the listeners. I'm holding out. If you know what a Serbu Super Shorty is, this is the Serbu Super Shorty at home. This is just a Grizzly pump action 12 gauge Remington 870 clone. So if you were a fan of Canada ammo back in the day, these things came in. This is the 8.5-inch barrel model. And it is not correct to the Serbus because I think the Serbus actually had 6-inch barrels, but it's close enough. This had initially a non-folding, non-pistol grip, full rifle-type stock on it, and it was more than 26 inches. But I've always wanted a Serbu Super Shorty because it was my favorite sidearm in Battlefield 4. So I was like, yeah, let's go, okay? So I got myself one of these things, and for the longest time, I had put together all the parts to assemble it into a restricted shotgun. And I just hadn't done it because I just didn't feel like taking the plunge. Then Adriel calls me one day and says, I'm going to build a 16-inch Raven. And just as he pointed out, why? Yeah, it's so close to 18.5. But we went through the entire process. And after we were done, I just realized I had to do it. I just take the pictures.
Wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah. Take the pictures, send them in. I mean, the benefit of it is I am a verifier, so I can just skip that entire step of like, well, what gun is it? Because that's all the verifier is. You have to be sponsored by a firearms business for you to apply to join the course. It's an online course. You go through the entire course, and they teach you how to figure out if a gun is a gun and what type of gun is it. And then you get a verifier number, and that's one of the things that you need to provide when you're actually registering a firearm as restricted. So that saves me a step. Adriel had to go through the problems of sending me pictures, and I had to be very specific about that picture where the barrel is shown next to a measuring tape. It's got to be lined up. I got to know how long that barrel is because it's part of the entire process. But yeah, so I just did it. I sent it in. I have it in the systems, and I have it put together because I want to take this trap shooting because I think that'd be fun.
Is that one
I not want video of that?
Dave, the one you've got right now, that one isn't designed to be folded or telescoped down.
Correct.
That's non-restricted then, right?
And we were just talking about this actually before the show. The Serbu Super Shorties should have been non-restricted coming in. And if somebody entrepreneurial is out there, I think you can make the argument that if you manufacture something like this from the get-go and bring it into the Canadian market, I would sign off on that as being non-restricted as a verifier. Okay? because
it's not made to be fired with one hand, right?
No. I would absolutely never try to fire this thing one-handed. Okay, it's got a 3-inch chamber. Heck, make it a 3.5-inch chamber just to make sure somebody out there can't say that it's definitely not supposed to be shot by with two hands. You can shoot that one-handed. Because if you put a 3.5-inch slug on this thing, which I think I made it, it's like 4, maybe 5.5 pounds.
Well, yeah. Why not? There are people out there
that would try it. And I'm going to get video of it. Duh. That's what's got a dot on it, right? How am I going to aim this thing?
You're saying, Kyle? Hmm? You're saying something?
Yeah, and he agreed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. People are going to do it. Like, absolutely. Make that thing 3.5-inch chamber because I want to see the videos of all the broken wrists.
Bring some light speed. You guys probably saw the most recent video of the guy shooting something like that, catching it right in his teeth and having a circle of broken teeth right here.
Oh, nice. I did not see that. Oh, yeah.
Caught
one.
It right in the face.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, why not? They make 45-70 revolvers, which are fun to shoot. Yeah. Why not 3.5?
Bring in some of the light
shorty.
Speed, I guess you might have to manufacture them. Manufacture some 3.5-inch stanky slugs because Lightspeed doesn't make those commanders anymore, right?
Well, you find a someone who has a reloading press and you just make your own.
That's true. Or
and then you can make it still Sammy spec, but above what you're going to buy in a store.
Yeah, the firearm is not a handgun. The firearm is not designed or adapted to be folded or telescoped or otherwise reduced to be less than 26 inches. And it is not name restricted by name. So if somebody makes this but new, then it would be non-restricted in my opinion. The reason that this one is restricted is because this came into Canada with a stock and I swapped out the stock. Now this is a restricted firearm because it was designed or adapted to be shot under 26 inches when reduced in length. And this was reduced in length. So that's it. Okay.
We got a question here from Sporting Rifle. It says,
I'll stop it.
When you have a restricted long gun, red shirt shows barrel length, and you have many barrels with different lengths, do you need a separate red shirt for each option?
I actually have almost an answer for this, okay? Because I happen to be I'm an avid collector of the Thompson Center Contender. So if you know what the Thompson Center Contender is, it's a break action handgun. And its Call of Fame was being featured in Hard Target to Kill. I think it was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where the bad guy, that's what he's got. He's got a break action handgun. It looks like it's a 308 or something. And that's what he shoots at the bad guy, at the good guys with. Okay. But yeah, it's just a break action handgun. And there's a myriad of barrels for those things, okay? Anywhere from 22 long rifle up to my 45-70, okay? And if I remember correctly, in the FRT for that, there is a separate entry for each barrel available for the contender. And it's hilarious. Like, it's like every single 22, 22 Magnum, the 17 caliber rimfires, then you get to center fire stuff, everything under the sun that is a pistol caliber, and then you start moving into some rifle calibers, and of course 410. Okay, so I have seen the FRT for that. It is possible that you may end up literally with a registration certificate for each of them, but I can't be sure. Your best bet would just to have a register restricted frame.
In theory, wouldn't that fall under what we were talking about before with you have the 30 days to let them know so you could throw, hey, I throw that upper on, go shoot it. Okay. Go put the original upper that your red shirt shows, or if you were lucky enough to have a lower only red shirt.
Potentially.
And take it off.
Yeah.
You have 30 days to let them know. In theory. Now, this is obviously not legal advice, but in theory, you have 30 days to take it off and restart the clock.
Yeah. What Kyle's talking about there is, remember the AR-15? The golden days? When those were restricted because they were restricted, then it didn't matter what barrel length you had on them. So people had like Adriel's 7-inch blaster, which I still am jealous of. That I miss that gun every time you bring it up. It's like, fuck, that thing was, I mean, sorry, that thing is just so good. All the way up to your 16 or 24-inch barrels, whatever. So the registration certificate usually comes attached or has included in it a barrel length for the restricted firearm. That is a registered certificate for that specific gun with that barrel length. So if you had other uppers and you wanted to, you can, as an AR-15 is, pop two pins out, take the bolt carrier and the charging handle out, or maybe you have the money and just have a charging handle in all your uppers, and then just pop the bolt carrier out, or maybe you have bolt carriers in all your uppers. Who knows? Just dedicated upper, pop the pins, put a new dedicated upper up there, and you're good to go. But that is not the barrel link that matches the registration certificate. So they gave you 30 days to update them. But if you theoretically just used it at the range like that, put it back together, and then you went home with the gun in its original registration certificate outline configuration, would that be fine? I think Ian's got a video on this, but you know, you'd have to go back through through his backlog. But yeah,
because you can get the Polish Uzi there, the BRS-99. You can get that BR-99, BRS.
I think it's BR-99.
BR-99. You can get it with a long barrel or a short barrel, restricted or non-restricted, and it's very quick to swap.
Yeah. Because if it's anything like the Uzi, it's just like the collar at the front and whoop, and then put a new one in, tighten the collar, go off to the races.
Indeed. And then Rico says, being a verifier is a little more complex than that. I'm sure Dave's just simplifying it just to make it easy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, I can talk about how you verify a revolver versus verifying a semi-automatic handgun, because it's terrifyingly silly, the nuance there.
Yeah. You just replace it. But you're right. It's not terribly difficult. You don't have to be a gunsmith to get the cert.
No. My interest was purely... I want to have all the gun things related. Like my next step, basically after becoming a verifier, would just get to be a firearms license or a firearms business license. Sorry, I have a firearms license. the business license, which would then let me like sell, buy, assemble firearms, and you know, come up with new stuff.
Well, that would be wouldn't be just the firearms business. That would be your manufacturer license.
Oh no! So the application for this, I looked at it a couple of years ago. Like you could just get so many things under that umbrella of a business license. It's the ammunition stuff. It's museums and the allowances that allow you to have even up to prohibited firearms. Mm-hmm. Then there is all the armor stuff for movies as well.
Yeah.
And then obviously the one that would be nice to have just to have is manufacturing license, because when they took that away a couple of years ago, I don't know if maybe some new listeners out there didn't know, you used to be able to make whatever gun you wanted as long as you had a license for that type of firearm. So if you wanted, you could make yourself a pipe shotgun. I mean, it'd be a pretty terrible thing.
3D print an AR-15.
Or 3D print an AR-15. Or
I couldn't even say those words. Well, we're going to get our Facebook feed banned just from saying those words.
That's not very hard to get either. I'm wondering if he's talking about the manufacturers. I know I was looking at that when I still lived in Canada. I was kind of looking at that and then kind of threw that on the back burner because it seemed like they basically wanted you to be a journeyman machinist in order to give that. The way I was looking at it, like they didn't outright say it, is either like machining experience or studied under someone who already had that that license. Basically, so, like the way I read it was me going into it as an electrician, I wasn't going to get it because I was just doing hobby job stuff at home.
Yeah, the my understanding on the matter, I guess I'm not an expert. You'd have to talk to Pratt Logan. Have you had him, the M1 Garand guy? You're muted, Adriel.
I said, yeah, I should have him on. He's great at Garands, and he knows quite a bit.
He's got all that stuff in there, right? So just applying, I'll tell you what the requirements are to apply to get a firearms business license. Fill out the application, literally throw a bunch of money at the government. You can apply for all the privileges you want, and then they can come back and say, great, let's look at your storage. That's the big thing. Yeah. If you have personal firearms, they cannot be with the business firearms. They have to be separate. So they have to have their own state.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. You need to have a home security or a security system in place on the premises where the business firearms are kept. Okay? Or you can exceed the storage requirements and then you don't need a security system. So my reading of that is if you have a bunker, you're good to go. Okay?
You have probably a cheaper to get the security system.
But then you can't say you have a bunker.
Well, yes, there's that.
Okay, or if Adriel decides to do it, I mean, that gun room is a pretty sturdy gun room, so does that exceed a home security system? I mean, maybe.
I think they'd probably argue you need to change his door. You're muted again. Adriel.
I said I'll put some shotgun booby traps around the doors there. It exceeds a home alarm.
No. Just take a dead dog, stuff it full of Terranorite, and leave it by your front door with one of those like fake dog like motion activated sound noise machines. So when they burst through the door, you know.
Maybe another voice line. Princess, no, not again.
And demonetize anyway.
Yeah. Back to becoming a verifier. You said you had to be sponsored by a business. Now, especially after all this last talk, it's got to be obviously a firearms business. Is there any other special requirements of the business sponsoring you to do that?
No, it took a while for me to figure out where I could get that sponsorship from. And then I had a eureka moment. I'm a member at like four different ranges. One of them must be looking to have this as an option. And so Buffalo Target Shooters decided that they would be the ones to sponsor me for this. And so I am the verifier for that range. And if any Buffalo Target Shooter Association members would like, they can reach out to me to do verification stuff. Now, this is the kind of funky part. As part of the agreement that you signed to become a verifier, you are not allowed to receive compensation for the services provided. So I can't ask money for doing verifier stuff.
Okay.
And that's the thing that they say and that they put in the contract. So,
well, yeah, that would discourage people from getting it done.
Yeah. Yeah. So if somebody ever needs that kind of stuff, I think they can provide my name. Like, I'm pretty sure maybe the RCMP would like reach out to me and ask, hey, can you help out here? But if they want to, they can do that. And then I can go and take a look at whatever it is. And I actually have a situation where a verifier was required for a firearms purchase transaction that I did once.
That's interesting that the range was able to sponsor you for that. Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I should ask one of my ranges.
Yeah.
You should. Chas would do it.
Yeah.
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 That'd be cool. And then we can get shorty shotguns and then we can fire these out of them.
There you go.
600 grains.
1900 FPS with 600 grains.
Whoa.
Nice. Look at the energy here. 4759, 4,750 foot-pounds at the muzzle.
Now you got to look at the how fast that drops. It's 1,300 foot-pounds at 175 yards.
Yeah, that's when you're shaped like a fridge and are approximately a tenth of the size.
Loses 3,400 foot-pounds in 175 yards.
Yeah, that's going to be tough on that.
But you want to get that close up.
Big chunk of lead flying through the air.
Well, you know what's funny? It's like you don't even need that much because, like, I found some. I think it's Score. Score sells some high velocity slugs that are an ounce and an eighth that are doing like 1,600 feet per second. Oh, it's like
pretty spicy.
It's like you shoot it, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is not low recoil stuff.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that four. I've done that where the low recoil stuff wasn't available, so end up picking up like like 2 3/4 inch 1 ounce slugs doing 1600 feet per second, and it like they're not pleasant.
No, they're not. It's
especially when you're used to shooting like light stuff at speed, and then you go try and shoot one of those slugs. Yeah, not pleasant.
But I do like the noise. Yeah, there it is. That's the box I gave you.
1 ounce at 1550 FPS. Yeah. Pretty stanky.
I mean, they're not horrible, but when you're used to low recoil stuff.
Yeah. So, Adriel, here's a question for you just before I can stop talking about this. Should I run this as a handgun or as a shotgun in 3-gun?
I would not run that. Well, run that as a shotgun and 3-gun, and I want video because that is just, yeah.
It's going to be an exercise in frustration. Does it have a choke on it?
No. Oh,
come no. Right? They choke that short of a barrel.
No, but you know what's goofy?
Well, you can go
some
buy
of
a tap
did
and
come into the country with a choke.
Yeah, you can buy the taps from Brownells and choke them.
Yeah, but then like I'd have to find the right size, and it'd probably be a thin wall choke and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. Yeah, no, yeah.
I don't feel like it. I think it's just funnier this way because it is way funnier.
Indeed, it
way.
Is. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for letting us know about the wild and wonderful process to registering restricted firearms. I mean, we talked about registering something that you build. In the past, when handguns were a thing, if you found a handgun, then you could register it through the same process and keep it. But
yeah,
I don't. If you you wouldn't get to keep it these days.
Yeah, you can't.
If you found a handgun and went through it. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing with handguns is allowed. So no transfer of handguns, no inheriting of handguns, no importation of handguns. Except, oh, you're gonna like this. Actually, this is actually kind of relevant.
No finders keepers.
No finders keepers, but you can still borrow them. And I have been testing how long I can get away with that. So mm-hmm. I started out with 2 weeks. That was approved. Then I did a month. That was approved. I now have another data point. They have approved the borrowing of a handgun for 6 months.
Oh, I thought you were going to go full.
Yeah, like after away, that, like after a month, just
years.
Go for it for the year.
Five years. 5 years.
I have to be incremental. It can't just be balls out to the wall, because
saying Ontario CFO is issuing ATF up to a year. Must be ATT up to a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. We have more data points.
Someone was saying Ontario was like every time they had to do it. So like, I mean, it's cool to hear that Ontario's doing up to a year. I think we had a comment on the show when we were talking about borrowing before.
Rico's saying sure. Ontario CFO ATT up to a year.
Yep, perfect.
I would be curious to find out. Okay, what's the other person's license expiry, and then going for that date.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That might be it. Well, I mean, it's not related because it's not everybody, but I have made a long-term ATT for instructors. Because all my instructors that helped me to teach the course, they can borrow my handguns for free. So they don't have to pay a HIA $15 or $25 or whatever it is to borrow a kit. And they have it for the duration of their license. So some people have it for a couple of years.
The last one. So actually, speaking of firearms instructors, my neighbor did his. They put his guns on the registration on that one. I did mine. They didn't. They just said, see conditions. And the conditions were, this guy can borrow can take handguns for being a instructor, and no registration numbers associated with it at all.
Yes, no, I actually, so you're right. That just happened to me as well because I just
so you can just borrow anything without a call or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's anything that the other instructor has that is registered to them, and it was actually kind of funny. They actually threw in a regular ATT as well, so I can borrow any of his guns and use them for competition. Nice. And he's got a CZTS2.
Ooh.
Dude, that thing is
even
stupid.
More Gucci.
Hey, thing is so stupid. I love it.
No, the parrot's stupid. The TS is like a step up to stupid.
Yeah, the TS, yeah. It's
They're nice looking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really nice
cool. All right. Well, thanks for letting us know about that. Why don't we head on to the rest of the show?
Okay. Have a good day.
And Thank you, Dave, for coming on and discussing the verification process, how to become a verifier, and what, well, kind of what you got to go through to register a firearm from non-restricted. We'll get on to listener feedback. And we got Tony sent an email
all the comments, right?
Yeah, I think
Rico said, if you're ever in Ontario, check out Arcane Defense. That's him. Tony was saying use CFE BLK for the 300 blackout. I think that Lil Gun burns quick because they use that in like 44 mag and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you need a fast burning powder for that.
Yeah,
that shorty,
for that 10 inch barrel. Yeah. I think I got it right because there's no big, like, I didn't feel the heat of a fireball going around my hand, and I would have where my hand was. Yeah. I would have.
Okay. You want to take on Tony's email?
Sure, yeah. Good evening, Slamfire Radio. It'll be a long one today, so be prepared. The CCFR AGM was a great success in Calgary. Kelly actually recognized me first while I was signing in at the AGM table. Didn't get to catch up with her in the morning, but I did return for the banquet and live auction in the evening. It's actually a funny story. I went to the banquet with one of my colleagues, and I did not know he was a gun owner for the longest time until I saw his phone one day with the CCFR sticker on the back. Shout out to Ernesto. After that secret handshake, there was quite a bit more to talk about during off hours. Before the banquet, the Kellys sold him a winning ticket, a raffle ticket for two old muzzle loaders, one of them a Thompson Center 50 cal, the other not as clearly marked. It was also my first time attending a live auction. Alberta field coordinator Jason did a fantastic job. He is a professional after all. Unfortunately, most of the items are out of my price range. National Range Day and open house at the BTSA was a great success as well. I was on the IDPA bay for the day, despite never having shot IDPA before. And to be honest, I'm just not a good instructor at all. I did get my chance to try my hands out on one of the stage guns, the P320 X5 Legion. And Ooh. Truth be told, I did not buy into the SIG hype.
Really?
The dropping discharge issue and the saying of, you are buying an American striker pistol from a company known for European DASA hammer pistols, was always win in my mind, but I loved it. That P320 was topped by a Vortex Venom red dot, and it presented very naturally for me. I don't think it is a 1911 grip angle either. Considering its flexibility as an FCU pistol, Magpul now makes magazines for the P320. I think this would be a new addition to my pistol thaw shopping list. Now calculating financial feasibility. Good night. Best regards, Tony of Calgary.
Yeah, I know that. P320 X5. That is a nice pistol.
It's got a good trigger pull on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like the X5. I don't like the
X5. The other one? I don't like the whole geometry of the whole pistol from just a standard 320.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't really like the 320. It felt really top heavy, but the X5, they changed the grip and everything. And it feels
like a gamer gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's way more of a gamer gun. And the 226 Legion, I've shot one of those, and that just felt like a waste of money to me. It, like, very, like, the trigger was great on it, the 226 Legion, but it was too expensive. Too expensive.
Yeah, I didn't get to shoot the 226 Legion. I held the 226 Legion, and I got the 226 mm-hmm. Scorpion, so it's already got their short reset elite mm-hmm. trigger. And the Legion, it felt like it was different styling furniture for me. Or no, yeah. The Legion was single action only, though, wasn't it?
And the trigger's very light on it. But
okay. I don't know. It's been a while, so I can't even remember when I held that. But yeah, the single action only would have been nice, but yeah.
But if you get a single action only, you can get a hammer fired gun that is like has a lower bore axis on it, like a 1911 or something like that. If you're going to go single action,
yeah,
or a 2011 for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for Tony for your email. We'll get on to the YouTube comments, and we have Tony and Eddie in the YouTube comments. So, from Tony, pro tip, if your PAL is expiring, but not expired, go for RPAL and renew for 50% off from the RCMP. Fee for upgrading privileges is set as 50% of the higher fee. That is a really good tip because you get renewed when you upgrade. Tony says the value of an FCU pistol in Canada today, much less chance of breaking. So FCU fire control unit.
Yeah, plastic frame and plastic blower.
The firing control is the serialized part, not the frame of the gun. He says, oof, Edson to Drayton, might as well drive to Chaz. And actually, Crystal and I were talking about that after the show, and it's pretty much the same distance.
I try. I don't know Edmonton or Alberta geography well, though.
Like Drayton, you still have to go a fair bit south from Entwistle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like going to Chaz, which is just, well, it's like 10 minutes south of Highway 16 from the 43 turnoff. So yeah, it's pretty much the same as Drayton, I think. But yeah, it's still not far. Still not far. Then Eddie says, and all of these are on last week's episode. He says, you can still buy pistols under a narrow provision for Olympic disciplines. I've heard if you join the ISSF, provincial sanctioning body, and or the national body, the Shooting Federation of Canada, SFC, you can get an exemption letter that allows you to purchase a pistol. Rumor going around locally that somebody got a Glock through the exemption. I would like confirmation on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if so, I think ISSF and the Shooting Federation of Canada membership has just spiked. That would be actually be hilarious if that actually happened. Okay, sporting rifle same permit under ISSF is for 22 long rifle only. So yeah, you can get a Glock 22. So
or one of these Marinko Olympians.
I can't remember what Glock designation is their 22 long rifle, but. A Glock that shoots 22, not the Glock 22.
I don't know if that would be that good for Olympic style.
I don't think anyone buying it cares.
Probably.
But, and then Eddie says borrowing is a good reason for having an RPAL. I've heard of shooters getting long-term ATT like for months to borrow a friend's pistol to practice and shoot competitions. Well, Dave's gotten. Has he gotten the 6 month or he's now trying for the 6 month?
Gotten the 6 month.
Okay.
I'll be testing a year soon.
Yeah. Perfect. Tony replied to that, but that's thinking a month. Borrow off two different friends, and the process is pretty simple. I'm thinking 3 months is probably not a huge stretch. And apparently, no, it is not a huge stretch because you can get six. But that is it for YouTube comments. Was there anything really notable on Discord this week?
I don't know. I've been shit posting memes and that kind of thing just because I want to.
Awesome. So if you would
I post some photos up there too when I was out camping and doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. We didn't get the Cabela's stuff done this time again, but if you are shopping at Cabela's or Brownells, go to our website, go to the sidebar, click the link. We'll get a little kickback. Won't cost you anything extra, and we'll get a little kickback from both of those. And at some point, we will get a list together, and we'll share some purchases. We should have a good buildup of purchases going.
Soon.
Well, we did have some issues for a bit there, so.
Yeah.
We would like to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player, and if you'd like to support us on either of those platforms, you can go find us there. And if you'd like to send us an email, we'll send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com, and we will read it live on the air. And we'll get into shout-outs. Adriel, do you got any shout-outs?
Nope, not from here today.
I don't have any either this week. So with that, we will sign off. And actually, we'll do a collective shout out to Dave. Thanks for coming on and talking about those. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
And so yeah, with that, we're going to sign off. So go join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Player. And join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night, Kelly.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.